Hello everybody, this is Edward Alonzo doing a demonstration here for Blind Cool Tech, Larry Skukon's new podcast that he has out. Well, I won't say too new, but fairly new. Just want to first of all say congratulations on all the wonderful work, and I hope that this podcast is just as interesting as any of the ones that Larry would produce. We definitely all know that Larry does some excellent work on his podcast, and we definitely want him to know that he's doing a fantastic job on Blind Cool Tech. I got to get that right. Today I'm going to be reviewing the MZB100 business recorder put out by Sony. And we're going to be doing a lot of description on the MZB100 just to get you familiarized with the way that the MZB works and how stuff like that works. Hopefully my speech is not coming through. I'm using software speech for now. I usually use an external speech, but I knew that would for sure come through, and I couldn't find another pair of headphones to wear with it, so hopefully it's not coming out all loud, because that's definitely not what I want. Anyway, we're going to go through, and actually let me listen to make sure that that's not happening, so just one second. Okay, no, we're doing good here. That is not happening, so we're lucky. Okay, so let me go back through here, and we're going to first of all start with a review of the MZB100 mini disc recorder. Not a review, but a description. Get all my words straight here. We're going to discuss what it feels like. And I just had it plugged in because I was doing some work with it. And so I'm going to unplug it from the line in jack that I was using and place it on the desk in front of me. Move my keyboard tray out of the way. Right. Alright, first of all, in the first business recorder was that Sony produced. Now, Sony, as far as I know, is the only ones that produce a business recorder, or any type of mini disc recorder. Now, if you know of any others by now, you can feel free to let me know. Now, Sony started producing mini disc recorders in the mid-90s. And the main purpose of business recorders at that point was to record music. There wasn't a lot of, you know, people recording voice and speech and things like that of that nature. The first business recorder that we had used a line-in socket and not a mic jack. It did not have a mic jack on it. So if you had a microphone, it had to run very much like Larry's Arcos jukebox and plug it into the line-in of the mini disc recorder. The very first business recorder was the MZB3, which was quite a lot bigger, was quite a battery hog, and used a lot more, you know, battery in the field. And one of the main reasons that it did was because it never switched the motor off. So, for instance, when you were recording or you were playing and you weren't needing the motor to spin up as much, it wouldn't switch off, it would just stay on. But it was a lot more responsive for that very reason, because people could just switch tracks quickly. Here with the MZB100, the motor switches off, and you are sometimes in a state where when you stop it and it's got to go through and write the table of contents before it stops, you have to wait for the motor to wind up. So the MZB3 did not do that. You could immediately switch tracks, and you didn't have to wait for them to actually become, for the motor to actually start up and switch the track or stop the recording or whatever you wanted to do. Now, another cool thing about the mini disc business recorders is that their record button, when you record, stays depressed. So therefore, when you know you have a blank mini disc in your recorder, you can hit the record button and know that you're still recording by feeling of the button, which is easily felt, And therefore, you know that it the recording button is depressed, and you know that you're not getting any, not, you know, where it's not capturing, rather, I should say. Because you know that by the record button being pressed down, indented down, depressed, rather, is what I should say, then you know that you're still recording as long as you're using the internal microphones and not an external one, and your battery in your external, if you're using one, is not dead. For instance, I will do a test recording to show you. I have a blank mini disc here in the player, and I will show you that when we come to the record button. Now, the business recorders have a built-in microphone, we've already discussed that, as well as a speaker. Now, the newer speakers don't sound as good as the older business recorders, I should say, because the older ones had a bigger speaker in them and they just sounded better. So naturally, I usually hook mine into my computer using a line-in or a line-out in my sound card and hook it to the headphones. But the speaker is not as good as, especially like on the MZB100, is not as good as the MZB50 or the MZB3. These business recorders do not charge on rechargeable batteries, which I find an interesting concept, but that's really not too bad because the mini disc recorder does take a AA, just a single AA battery, and it's in the back, which we will get to after we get to the description. Foot switches are available for most all of the business recorders, if not all the business recorders. I've never owned a foot switch, and I don't even know where the foot switch would go when you purchased it, because I don't think, as far as I know, that there is any place to actually put one, so I don't really know about that at this point. After the MZB3 was the MZB50, which, as we've discussed before, was very similar to the MZB3 in that it had a very good speaker, and the sound quality of the speaker was just a bit better than the MZB100. But the MZB50, after it phased out, we had the MZB100, which is the one that we are working on now. And the MZB100 introduced a new feature called the LP2 and the LP4 playing modes, which we will get to in just a moment. Now that we are actually finally on the MZB100, we will describe the buttons and some of the features. At the back of the top of the unit, with the unit facing away from you, are the left and right stereo microphones. In the middle of the microphones is the display for the sighted people to see what's going on. Of course, us here, it does no good for us to use the display, so I never use the display on my MiniDisc recorder. Under the display and the two microphones are six buttons, and from left to right they go display, not the screen display, just display, play mode, enter, easy search backward, easy search forward, and group. Now, the group button is more of a long, skinny button, whereas the other five are very small, dot-shaped buttons. Underneath that, we have the built-in speaker, which is not too bad, but it is better when you connect it to a headphone jack or line in or line out. Underneath that, we have the skip back and forward button. That is actually what I use to skip my tracks when I make a track. On the right-hand side, after the skip and search forward, is the record mode button, which takes us from mono to stereo to LP2 to LP4. Now, in my recording that I did of the demonstration, I recorded in stereo mode, as I said. So, to change the modes when you record, you have to first press record, then pause, and if you're wearing some kind of monitoring devices, such as headphones, you can press the recording mode and you'll be able to hear the left and right microphones in the respective channels. If it's on mono mode, both microphones will be in the center. So you can put it on mono mode and then push record mode again and you'll be in stereo. Push it again, you'll be LP2, again LP4, and it cycles back. So mono, stereo, LP2, LP4. So if you know where you're on the mono side, then you can get from stereo to LP2 to LP4. For instance, if you're on mono and you want to go to stereo, you'll press the recording mode button once. If you want to go to LP4, you press it 3 times, stereo, LP2, then LP4. And so that's the way you can tell what recording mode you're in. Okay, now we're getting to the good stuff. The stuff closest to the user with the mini disc facing correctly is from left to right. Stop, play, pause, record, and track mark. Now the record button is much bigger than the rest of the buttons here. So, we've gotten to the front of the unit. Now, we're on the very front, and on the very left-hand side of the front is the headphone jack. Right beside that, to the right, is a switch that pops the top of the mini disc open for your mini disc to come out and be inserted. If you pull it to your right, your mini disc pops out and you can pull it out. When you put the mini disc in, you push it in until it clicks, like those old APH recorders, and you close the door. Or I should say NLS. I don't remember if the APH recorders did that or not. But then you might hear the mini disc whir up as it looks for information, if there is any. After the eject switch is the most important switch I find. That is the locking switch. And it locks all buttons. Not switches, but buttons. If you push the switch with the mini disc facing correctly to your right, it locks all buttons, including the stop button and the record button. And I primarily lock mine, even if I'm not using it, and buttons will not work. I'm pushing the record button now, and nothing is happening. So I'm going to unlock it now by pressing it to the left. Now, I don't recall if I mentioned the track marker key, but it was on that row of keys. I think I did, of stop, play, pause, record, and track mark. I think I did. And the track marker key will allow you to set track marks to mark your spot in a recording, which we will show you that in just a minute. Now we're going to the left-hand side of the unit from back to front. We've got the microphone and line-in socket, which actually the line-in socket goes first, then the microphone, and then on the left-hand side still is the microphone mechanical sensitivity switch and the sound button. Now the sound button allows you to change the sound while in playback mode. Above the sound button, more above actually the mechanical sensitivity switch, is a jog dial which allows you to change the position of tracks if you're able to see them, as well as adjust the playback speed, which we will go through in just a moment. At the back of the unit, on the left-hand side, it's not easy to see because it's rather small, is the DC power supply source. Now, mine did not come with one, but you can use a number of Sony adapters that will work with this product, so you'll just have to contact Sony and see what works best for you. On the right-hand side, we've got the delete button, the synchronous recording switch, only used for digital recordings, the voice activated button, which does not work too well, and the volume control dial. Push it away from you and it turns up, roll it towards you and it turns down. Let me just make sure that I've got everything here. On the bottom of the unit is a button that to set the clock of the unit, which I don't know where that is. I've never found it. It must be on the left somewhere, but I've never located that particular button. And the compartment for the 1AA battery. Now, it just pops open, and you just place your battery in, and that's all it takes is one battery. Now we're going to demonstrate a quick recording of just the actual recorder, and then I'm going to demonstrate walking around with the recorder, and you'll get to hear the difference in the two different microphones that I use. So I've got the mini disc unlocked and facing me correctly. Now I'm going to press the record button, and you'll hear a little squeak, which means the window of the mini disc has come open, and we're going to be recording with the external microphone, the internal microphone, and the sound is on the mechanical microphone switch as high as it'll go. Now, I did forget to mention in my review, when I was actually recording the mini disc review on the mini disc, about the switch. I use it primarily in the on position, or the higher position, because it captures more stuff in the background, like if you're in a big room. If you're in a smaller room and you want just your voice to be heard, you can turn the sound sensitivity down to its low position. So now I'm going to press the record button, and you'll hear the squeak. Now we're recording on a blank mini disc with the internal microphones. And the record button has stayed depressed so that I can see that it is recording. And I'm going to place a track mark now while I'm recording in the file. So I'm going to place a track marker now by pressing the button just to the right of the record button. This is track 2 of our mini disc recording, and it just placed one right there where I wanted it. And a lot of times I notice that if I record things just for my own purpose and I have something funny happen, or something, you know, that I want to remember while I'm recording, I'll put a track marker after the position, and then I can actually move the track marker if I want, which we will get to in just a few minutes. Now I'm going to stop the recording, and it will take a bit of time and to save everything, but you'll know by the record button jumping out, which is easily felt and heard, that we have completed the recording process. There it is. So as you can hear, you could hear the recorder. Now, between the time I pressed stop and that happening, it did take a bit of time because it was writing the table of contents. Now, if I hold down the play key for about 2 or 3 seconds, which is the one with the tactile dot on it, I did forget to mention that, it will take me to the very beginning of the mini disc playing. So now you're going to hear the built-in speaker. So as you can hear, it has recorded for us. Now I'm going to pause it for a moment, and I'm going to resume pause mode, a playback mode, in just a minute. And what I'm going to do is press the search forward key, the one right above the normal function keys, the play and stop keys, and show you how we put the track marker in. So I'm going to press pause to resume playback mode, and I'm going to press the right arrow key.
This is track 2.
And I'm going to press the right arrow key again, skip forward, I call them the arrows. And we're back around to track 1. Now, if I want to remove the track marker, what I will do while I'm in play mode is press pause, and then press search forward until I get to the track marker I'm certain I want to remove, which would be the only one I have here at this point, and I would press the track marker key again. And you heard the window come open because it put the disc in edit mode, so it removed that track marker. So if I play the disc now, by unpausing it, it took the track marker off, because if we use the skip forward key, it just cycles back around. If I press it again, it just cycles back through because there's no track marker. Now, if I wanted to put the track marker back, I could find the position that I'm at. So I'm going to find the position that I'm wanted the track marker. Okay, now I just pressed it in the recording, but we removed it now. So I pressed the pause mode key, and I'm going to put the track marker back by just hitting track mark while in pause play mode. So now when I unpause it, now I should be able to hit the left arrow now, and it should start us at track 2. And it certainly did. So if we hit the left arrow twice, the skip backwards, we're on the first track again. So I'm going to hit the stop key, and it will go through and actually save what I've done, and then you'll hear it close the window. Because when you edit it in play mode, it's got to go back and resave what you worked on, because you can take pieces out of a mini disc by putting the tracks together and then deleting that track. So if we wanted to just delete the first track, we would start playing the track by hitting play. Now, as you noticed, it didn't quite start exactly at the first, because I just hit stop and play. I didn't hold down play. So what I'm going to do is hit stop repeatedly to make sure I'm in stop mode, and then hold down play again to get the beginning of the track. Now we're at the beginning of the track, and I'm going to press the delete key, which is the one on the right-hand side, at the very top right-hand side. And I'm going to press enter, which is the third button from the left. And there it is. It's gone. So now we'll play our second track, which is now our only track. So that is our second track, and we deleted the entire thing. Now, the cool thing about this recorder that wasn't available in the MZB3 is the... Now, I think it's cool myself. I don't know what anybody else thinks, but I think it's cool. Now, if you say stop this track from playing, the track's playing now. So we're gonna start it back up here. Now if I stop and I'm like, you know, listening to this, and then all of a sudden I find something that I want to start recording, I can immediately hit record, and we're recording at the logical end of the mini disc player. It doesn't record over what I just did. So if I were to stop the recording now, and go ahead and let it save its thing. Now we're just doing some playing around here just to show you. Now I'm going to start at the very beginning of the disc by holding the play key down, and we're going to of course start on our first track again, because now we have two tracks. Now what happens when you make a new recording is it makes a new track. So if I hit the skip forward key, so as you can see, it's not recording over what I started. Now, I want to try a feature that I don't know if it works. I'm going to delete this track here, the second one, by pressing... I have to be playing the track, so I'm going to press delete and enter, and it deleted that track. I don't think you can do that in pause mode. I haven't actually tried that. Now, the track has stopped, and now we only have the very first track, or the second track, really, that we created, but it's the only track on the mini disc here, if I can get it to play, that is. What's going on here? It's not playing. Occasionally, sometimes you have to stop it completely. And now, don't tell me that it deleted the whole mini disc now, because that's not exactly what I had in mind. Certainly looks like it did. No, there it is. All right, I thought we must have been stuck. I don't know. Anyway, so there's our second track now. I'm going to... Okay, I'm going to stop after happen. I'm going to pause there, and I'm going to try and press record. Now, we should be recording over, if I'm not mistaken, what we just did. So I'm going to press stop. Wow, that didn't take long at all. Now I'm going to play the entire track and see if it recorded over instead of at the end of the logical end of the mini disc. No, it didn't. It didn't record. That's strange. I thought that that feature might work. It looked like it might. But it did not do that. So I don't know if that feature works or not. I was told that it does if you want to record over something. But usually what I end up doing is deleting what I don't need. I put a track mark there and delete it at that point. Now you can set a special track marker by holding down the track mark key, and it will jump right to the track mark. Now I can't exactly remember how that's done, but I think it involves I know how to set the special track marker. So if we're recording now, we're recording yet another track at the logical end of the mini disc, and I'm going to now set a special track marker by holding the track mark button in for just a few seconds. This is the spot where our special track marker is, and now I'm going to stop the recorder and let it save its stuff and start at the beginning of the mini disc. So I'm going to press the play key now. Start at the beginning of the mini disc, and if I recall, you're supposed to hold the voice activation button and the right arrow. So let me try that. Hey, what do you think? It actually worked. It actually worked. So you can put the special track marker in, and you can also delete the track marker and change it from a special one to a normal one by just pressing track mark on that one when you get to it, and it will turn to a normal track marker. Now let's talk about deleting the whole mini disc instead of just tracks at a time. So what you want to do is press stop repeatedly, press delete, and enter three times. 1, 2, 3. And I don't think mine's wanting to do it, so let me do it again. Sometimes you have to, you'll know when you're deleting it because you'll hear it. There you go. Now when it's done, it will bleep again and let you know that it's completed. There you go. It will close the actual editing window, and when you press play, you have nothing left on the mini disc. Okay, now I'm just going to run through a quick demonstration of the recording, how it actually sounds. I'm going to play a better version, and this is something I've already pre-recorded, and I'm going to play a version. What I'm going to do is actually put it in this recording so that you can actually hear what it sounds like to record on the mini disc player versus the listening to it via the on the computer. So I'm going to play it for you now and let you get a taste of it. Now I want to apologize ahead of time, because while I was making the recording, there was a bit of background noise in the right-hand channel that I noticed when I was sitting on my bench outside. And it might have been the way that I actually had it placed in my shirt pocket, because I usually don't get that type of noise. So I do want to apologize for that. And here's the demonstration, and we'll be back to finish up the review after this. Okay, everybody, this is our recording from the MZB100 mini-disc business recorder from Sony. And just to let you know, as we have talked before about the mono, stereo, LP2, and LP4 modes, I am recording this in just a stereo file, a regular stereo, 44 kHz file, or whatever it's considered as. So I haven't, there's no sense in me doing the LP2 and LP4 work at this point. So, anyway, right now I'm using the built-in microphones on the system, and I'm sitting here in the room that we were recording this review in. First of all, this is my computer room, and like I said, it is a stereo recording, so when you hear this back, hopefully it will be as we've recorded it in stereo, and I'm going to prove that to you by moving just slightly to the left and I'm rolling a little bit to the left now, and I can hear myself in the more of the left channel of my monitoring here, and I'm going to go off to the right now, and now I'm kind of in the center as I move off to the right, and now I can hear myself off more to the right of the stereo spectrum. So I'm going to move back into center now because that's the best place to be. And I'm going to give you a quick demonstration of the EC-MMS-907 microphone that I also use with this recorder. And this microphone is one of the better microphones that go with the MZB-100 mini disc player. And we're just going to take a bit of a, as one of Larry's calls it, his famous sound seeing tours. I'm going to just kind of walk around my house a bit and maybe walk outside and just sort of give you guys a demonstration of how well this thing records. I think I'm going to use the external microphone to keep from getting a lot of microphone noise. However, I don't get too much microphone noise with this microphone. I'm setting it up now, but I really don't get too much noise with the internal microphones rather. I'm having a bit of trouble here, but then again, I may go through and use the internal microphones to record as well, just see how, you know, things sound. We've discussed the microphone and line-in sockets on the left-hand side. And the first one, I believe, is the microphone. But we're about to find that out here in just a few seconds. So if you'll give me just a moment while I change the recording source. Okay, we've changed the recording source, and you're probably not hearing as much noise as you were in the past. Now, the way this microphone works is you have to set it in front of you on the opposite side. For instance, it has to be pointing away from you in order to capture the stereo sound. Now, that makes sense in a point, because you point it towards what you want to hear, and then therefore that will be captured in stereo. So the microphone will be pointing away from you in a sense of the cord facing you, which is at the bottom of the microphone, and the microphone top or the ball of the microphone would be away from you, and therefore then it would record in stereo, which it's doing now. Because if I move now, now, when I first had it on, it was facing towards me, so everything was backwards. So everything was, you know, when I moved to the left, it moved to the right. Because that's the thing about an external microphone, is you got to know exactly where to place it to get what you want. With the internal microphones on the MZB-100, you only have to place the keys that we talked about in front of you, the stop, play, pause, and record keys, as well as the track marker key, in front of you, and the microphones on the unit are as expected, left being on the left, right being on the right. So, now that I've said that, let me just, this thing's not sounding too bad actually, and I want to demonstrate to you the sound button, because we did talk about the sound button previously, and I'm going to press it now. It's the one on the left-hand side. It's not the actual sound button. I'm sorry, the microphone mechanical sensitivity switch is what I meant to say. I'm going to press that, and you'll notice the sound drops significantly. See there, it took a lot of the sound out. And in order for me to really be talking, I've got to talk right into the microphone. But it did cut out a lot of the sound. But a lot of times, you know, that's used for when you're just making voice recordings, and you want to talk directly into the microphone and not get a lot of background noise. As you can see, it cut a lot of the computer noises out. Got two computers in here. And it cut a lot of the computer noise out. Now, if I were to switch it back on while I'm still holding the microphone. Now, the way I remember also, if I'm not monitoring by a headphone, is... Now, see, the air conditioning just came on, and now you can't hear that. I don't think, anyway. At least I can't hear it in the monitor. But the way I remember is on the very front, or not the... on the side, on the left-hand side, right before you get to the front left edge of the unit, there is that sound button that we talked about, which alters the sound. I was just playing with it today. Alters the sound of the playback. It puts more bass or in it when you're playing it. Actually works, too. It's not too bad. But I currently have it turned off. But the way I realize that, or remember that the difference, if I'm not monitoring, between the louder setting on the mechanical sensitivity switch and the quieter setting is when you push the switch forward or pull it towards you with the mini disc facing correctly, it pulls towards the sound button, which makes the sound louder. And that's how I remember that sound louder. And if I push it away towards the microphone switch, which is, by the way, the very first switch, and then as you go farther towards the back of the unit, it is the line-in socket on the left-hand side. But if I pull it towards the switch towards the sound button, you instantly get a huge difference in the sound. And now you can hear the air conditioner, and I can even hear that, actually. So let's go ahead and take this on a tour. Now, I did want to point out to you that this microphone, I'm going to go ahead and use it, but this microphone has three levels of switching on it. It's got the very off position on the bottom. In the middle is a less broad stereo field. So if I put the switch on the microphone in the middle, it's a less stereo field. It's just kind of, you know, general. You know, you can hear the difference in the general right here as we move it back and forth. And if I put it on the broadband or the broader stereo field where it was before, you can really hear a huge difference. To me, it makes a big difference. As when I put it in the middle, it's not as good as it is when it's on the top, which is where I'm going to leave it at this time. So we're going to go and take a tour now. I'm going to be taking my dog out and doing a couple of things just so that you can see what it's like. And we're just going to have a good old Larry Skukon sing tour. And hopefully this isn't too unprofessional, because I'm going to do it like Larry does. And we all know Larry does good work, right, Larry? All right, everybody. So what I'm going to do is take the monitoring devices out and just hope that everything sounds good. Of course, we're going to go through and listen to the recording before we put it into our review. So just 1 second while I get things set up, and we'll be ready to go. Okay, we should be recording now. And I just locked the mini disc with the front switch, as is primarily my custom, because if I don't, I'll end up pushing some buttons on the mini disc recorder, which I don't want to do. And it does lock every button, by the way. So you cannot change anything, you know, accidentally or damage anything. And now I'm just putting the mini disc in my pocket, so naturally you're not going to hear any noise because I've got the external mic going. Now, the switches, unfortunately, have been known to change on me, and they will change in lock mode because it's just a switch. So you're going to hear a bit of microphone noise while I get this microphone positioned. And I'm just getting it set up the way I like it set up. And hopefully this will be acceptable to everyone once I get it set up here. Now, I've got the microphone kind of in front of me, and I'm going to point it actually to the side, so everything is not going to be as true a stereo as it would if we had things running a bit differently. But That's okay. So, we're just gonna, we still got a little bit of a dent in this microphone here. Somehow it got squashed and put just a little dent in it, but it looks like it's come out fairly well. So, we're going to, take the recorder here and just see how things are going. Now, the cool thing about this is that you can, I've got the mini disc, like I said, in my right pocket, and you can, you know, reach in your pocket and feel the record button, which is on the right, just kind of know that you're still recording. You can even, I've got jeans on here, and you can even feel it through the jeans that it's still on and active, because you can tell when it is down. Now we're going to go through my house now, so I'm going to leave the computer room. And I'm going to turn left and go into my front living room where my dog is, and let my dog out. So this is just recording in basic stereo mode. Now that is LP2 and LP4 stuff going on here. Come on, April. Come on. I have a about 3 months, almost 3 months in 3 months in August. 3-month-old lab here, and I'm gonna take her outside so she can get a little bit of the fresh air. Let's go outside. Stay out of there. She's still got a lot of puppy in her. So, come on. Come on. Let's go outside. She got so excited she ran into the door. Come on. She wants to lay by the door instead of get up. Come on. Let's go outside. Now I'm going to go into the backyard, as I know Larry likes to do. Hopefully the dog isn't kicking the mic too much. I'm about to put the dog down, so that will... Ooh, it's hot out here. I hear Larry talking about the heat index there in Louisville, and I live in Arkansas, as I said. And oh, buddy, it's definitely a hot one. That's for sure. And what I'm gonna do is go over here to my carport, if you will, and just have a seat on this bench and let the recorder pick up some of the voice stuff that we're doing here. Now, for those of you that aren't able to use the ECMMS 907 microphones, the stereo microphones, internal microphones, work just fine, and what we're going to do is do a bit of a demonstration with that now, because we've you know, done some with the Sony microphone that I purchased. So now I'm going to remove the mini disc from my pocket, of course, because at this point you can no longer carry it like that, because it will not record at that, you know, if it's in your pocket. So remove this microphone, this Sony microphone here, and take the mini disc out of my pocket here. It sort of gets stuck there when I've got the microphone switch. There we go. When I got the Sony microphone plugged in, it sort of gets stuck. Now what I'm going to do is, yes, we're still recording. I'm going to take the mic, the Sony mic out of the earphone, or the mic jack. So now we're using the internal microphones, and what are you eating? I swear these dogs get into some weird things now. So now I'm just going to put the mini disc in my shirt pocket, and I'm going to face the microphones up. So I might be on the left a lot, but that's okay. You'll hear a bit of noise while I place it in my pocket. Now, this is primarily the way I do it, and put the microphones at the top with the display facing up. And there's not really a whole lot of noise that I seem to notice as far as the sound, you know, when I walk around. Now, just, you know, there might just be a tad bit of sound, but, you know, not really too much as in the way of microphone background sound. Now, the thing about the ECMMS907 microphone is it works very well with the Sony MZB100. I've never tried it with any of the others, like the MZB3 or the MZB50. I've never owned an MZB10. And so, therefore, I wouldn't know how well that works out here. But as you can see, there's not a lot of background noise with these internal microphones, even though you can sometimes pick up an occasional sound from the mini disc. It's rather quiet where we are now. And, you know, you probably can hear somebody's central air going there. And, you know, you may even be able to hear my swing that I'm sitting in. But other than that, it's a very good internal mic system. So if you want to, you know, use the internal mic versus the external ECMMS, it doesn't work half bad. Now, as I was saying, the ECMMS is a powered microphone. It does take a battery. So you do have to be careful that you make sure that the battery in the microphone, if you're going to use it, is good and not dead. Because if it is, you're going to have some problems in the way of recording. So my best advice to you is to carry a pack of AA batteries with you if you're going to be out for a long extended time doing a lot of recording. And make sure that you put fresh batteries in both your mini disc and your microphone if you decide to buy this particular microphone. But if I were to get started in this podcasting, like I've said before in the review, I would probably, if I were going to do a lot of on-site location, you know, recordings or sound seeing tours or things like that, I would probably use this recorder here, and I might even just use the internal microphone. A lot of times I do that because the ECMMS was quite expensive in itself. Along with the MZB100. I think I purchased mine from, I believe, eTronics.com. I searched a couple of places. I also searched JNRMusic.com. I don't remember. One of the two did not have the microphone I needed, and the other one had the mini disc and the microphone, and I wanted to make the order as easy as possible and purchase both items at the same time when I found out that a buddy of mine was using this very same microphone along with a different mini disc recorder. I believe he might have had the MZB50, but I don't recall. He might have had one of the mini disc recorders that just recorded music, and you just I don't remember if his had a mic jack or not. It might have, and I don't recall. But he was using this microphone, so I'm assuming, I guess, that it did. But I don't recall it being a business recorder. So maybe it was one of the first ones that had the line in, and it worked via the line in. I don't really recall. But as you can see, it's fairly quiet here, so there's not a lot of noise. But I have recorded in a bigger city. I was from a bigger city at one point. And it does record very well stereo. I've taken a few trips with it, and it's definitely recorded just fine. I've also had no trouble with music. When I record music, if I record myself playing guitar or playing guitar with other people, I've recorded bands with this, and it does not distort at all with the internal microphones. I usually use the LP4 recording mode because I can get so much more on the LP4 recording mode. About 5 hours of material will fit on an 80-minute mini disc. And the beauty of these mini discs is that you can record your stuff onto your computer. Unfortunately, there is no way to upload, which is a bit of a pain, but if you want to go through and record it onto your computer, like we're doing now for this demonstration to show you what it sounds like, you can do that as well. So that's really not too hard. So with all that being said, I think we're going to go ahead and go back inside and wrap this recording demonstration up here. And I just finished up with a few words back at the computer. Going to be using the computer again to record the rest of the demonstration. So just bear in mind that I am using the internal microphones now. So I'm going to walk back in. And we're going to finish the rest of the review personally, because it's too darn hot out here to be sitting out here and dripping like an ice cream cone. April thinks she's going to go in, but she's not. She's going to stay out here. Come on. She thinks she's going to get to go in, but she's... No, you're not going in. She'd rather stay under the carport where it's a lot more shady. No, you're not going in. No.
No. Go in.
Okay, we're gonna go back in here. Oh, much cooler in here. It's just too hot to be outside. Now, I'm standing here in my kitchen, and so you can probably hear a bit of an echo. That's fine. I'm actually going to get me something to drink because it's awful hot outside, and I think I could do something to drink, so I'm going to do that now. And then I'll have something to drink while I finish the rest of the review. I'm walking back through my front house, and I'm sure you can hear the air conditioner. But two window units that I primarily run. I use one in the computer room to keep it cool, and the other one is in the front room to keep the rest of the house cool, which I guess it's doing a fairly good job, because when I came back in, it was definitely nice and cool in the house area. So, now we've got that done. I've got the ECMMS 907 turned off. Now you want to make sure that you've turned it off when you're done with your recording, because I have had a buddy of mine, the same one that we were discussing earlier, leave his on and go to use his, and it was dead. Now the ECMMS does come with a, I'm taking the mini disc out of my shirt pocket here. It does come with a case, a carrying case, a little soft carrying case, and you can put that in that carrying case. Okay, this about wraps it up for the recording, and I'm going to put this onto a file now, and that way we can listen to our review. So now we're going to go back to the computer and finish our recording. Okay, so as you can see, you did get to hear what the mini disc player did sound like. So I definitely hope that that gave you a better idea versus what we were doing at first, so you weren't having to hear it through the cheap little speaker that is offered with the MZB100. But like I said, I did purchase mine at either eTronics.com or JNRMusic.com. I think they still make them. You may be interested in maybe getting one of the ones that offer MD, which is not offered on this MZB100, you know, or something capable of uploading your material, because it is a bit time-consuming to have to record your work and then deal with it that way. But you know, it does work. Eventually, you know, it will get where you want, and then you can do with it what you want in SoundForge or whatever you think that would, you know, work the best. But anyway, that's about all I have here on the MZB100. If you want to contact me, you can do so by sending an email to edwardalonzo@cox.net. That's EDWARDALONZO at COX.net. And I'll be happy to address any questions you have. And hopefully, maybe I might be getting my own podcast started. I haven't quite decided what I should do, if I should even do any, because if I did any, I don't know what they'd be on. I'm just kind of a laid back, kind of into technology and anything I can really be, music, technology, traveling, anything. So maybe some of you guys could drop me an email and give me an idea on if I did a podcast, what I should call it, because I really don't know. Or if you enjoyed this demonstration, please feel free to let me know. If you thought it was boring, if you thought it was too loud, too quiet, you know, whatever you think would be appropriate, because I'm used to constructive criticism and definitely don't have a problem with anybody doing that, because I am not a thin-skinned person. I take constructive criticism very seriously, and I try to go back on what I've done and what people have said, and try to reiterate on it and make the sound a lot better if that's the case that needs to be done. So I'm going to sign off for now, and hopefully I will see you another time. This is Edward Alonzo reporting for Blind Cool Tech. Everybody have a super day.